All right, great. We're going to get started. My name is Ross Osborne, and I'm the MedTech and Diagnostics Analyst at Cantor Fitzgerald. And for our last presentation and fireside chat today, we have AxoGen. And today we have the company's President and CEO, Michael Dale, and CFO, Elizabeth Hartley. So with that, Michael, do you want to give us a brief overview of your background?
Sure. I've been in MedTech now for approaching 40 years. This is the ninth company that I've been a part of, and my fifth opportunity as a CEO. And I consider this to be one of the most significant new market development opportunities I've ever had the opportunity to engage with. So it's going well. We're excited and really looking forward to the future.
Great. Lindsay?
Yes. I'm Lindsay Hartley. I've been with AxoGen now for almost 4 years. Most recently, I've been promoted as the CFO about 4 months ago now. Before that, I was an auditor at Ernst & Young, and I also worked at some other life science companies in Atlanta, including some other industries, but excited to be here today.
Great. And then maybe to just level set the room, could you provide a brief overview of AxoGen?
Sure. AxoGen is a company focused on making nerve care standard of care. And specifically, what we're referring to is peripheral nerve injury. And this can be caused by either trauma and/or disease. But for those who are not familiar with other than just the term peripheral nerves, well, what is that? It's literally your ability to touch, sense, basically your sensory capability, as well as your motor function. So if I move my arm, that's dependent upon motor function. If I put my hand on my leg, I now am triggering sensory by virtue of both my fingers as well as my thigh. So it's the things that we take for granted every day that can be affected most commonly through trauma and/or disease. And what we do is we basically take donated human tissue, specifically peripheral nerves of the same size, length, or diameter that patient may need, and we can provide a human allograft, a bioactive allograft, that can serve as a physical scaffold to allow that damaged peripheral nerve to regenerate and therefore restoring the function, whether it be sensory or motor for patients.
Great. And what types of patients do you see? How those patients end up damaging their nerve? And when do you guys come into play?
Sure. The company was really built around treating significant trauma. So these can be any manner of accident whereby you have affected your extremities. Obviously, that includes everything from a car accident to a hunting accident to working in your backyard with a chainsaw, cutting fruit in the kitchen, and battlefield injuries. So you can just imagine the different manifestations of that. And so we're all familiar with the fact that you need to treat the vessels so that you stop bleeding and arrest that injury. You repair the bones. What's also a part of your extremities are those peripheral nerves. And to really give people a chance to restore or get the potential to restore some of their quality of life and their original function, you need to restore nerve function. And so that is really how AxoGen established itself initially in the marketplace. Moving on from that in terms of the extension of those therapies has been to the reconstruction process secondary to other interventions such as cancer. So that might be breast cancer, it could be prostate cancer in the future, it could be head and neck surgery, any part of the body where you have entry into the body and you have to remove tissue in order to mitigate another problem, that usually affects the peripheral nerves. And so what we provide are, again, these nerve scaffolds that allow for the opportunity to restore the function that was lost as part of that intervention.
Great.
Just a quick question. Sorry. I'm not familiar with the story. Is it fully restored?
I'm sorry.
Is it fully restored when you go in and help the person just back to where they were? I mean,
For peripheral nerve injury, as I understand it, very few patients ever return to 100% of function. So it's basically a variation, and this is primarily driven by, as you might imagine, a number of different factors. So what is their otherwise global health status, their ability to regenerate in the first place, Second of all, the significance of the other injuries that might be involved. And oftentimes, just how many nerves are involved in the reconstruction. So it's variable. So it runs the gamut from you would never know this person had an injury post recovery to they have function. And for those individuals, it's life changing. But for you and I, you would look at it still as a debilitation. So it's quite variable. It really depends upon the situation. But if you a great place to see some examples though would be to go on the website. There's all kinds of video patient testimonials of different manifestations of nerve injury. They describe the situation, and then you can see the patient post recovery and give you a better sense for that.
How often do you see no benefit?
I'm sorry?
How often do you see no benefit?
I honestly don't know the number to give you, but sometimes there's not recovery, but it's usually related to a more global situation, not the lack of the nerve doing its job. It's there's usually more extensive disease or injury involved that doesn't allow for recovery.
So just one more thing.
Competition is primarily a lack of treatment. While Axogen chronologically has been engaged in market development for a little more than a decade, the awareness of peripheral nerve injury treatment options is very low. So this is still a market in very early stage development. And so our competition primarily is a lack of clear guidelines in terms of expectations to treat nerve injuries when you're also reconstructing patients' injuries or disease intervention. And so that is really our competition.
It's actually where I was going next. In terms of market awareness, what are you guys doing to drive further awareness for your product portfolio, especially as you expand outside of trauma?
Sure. It's different by market segment. So the peripheral nerve injury marketplace is very significant in terms of size, grossly undertreated, so easily more than $5 billion. However, it's not a homogeneous customer base or care pathway. And so to answer your question, it kind of goes by situation. In all areas, one of the things that we're investing in now that we have more clarity as to what we think are the most efficient and effective business models is expanding the commercial footprint. So more people to introduce nerve therapy to more physicians. The second element is organizing and working with the relevant physician societies to make clear guidelines that nerve care should be an expectation of care as opposed to an option for consideration. We recently, for example, had enjoyed great success with two significant medical societies that now established advanced nerve graft as a standard of care and an expectation for treatment. So this has happened just within the last quarter. The other elements that we're doing is classic patient awareness. So digital programs, these are most significant in terms of our work in breasts, but also pain. And what we've seen is very high levels of response rates once we make people aware, so that when they're navigating their disease treatment, they're having that conversation to ensure that restoration of nerve function is part of the decision process.
Great. And then in terms of driving incremental adoption and focusing outside of trauma, you know, what areas or market segments do you need incremental data?
Virtually all segments need incremental data. I mean, if you talk to those who are specialists in their period, a lot of times they'll just say, oh, of course, it's standard of care. But the reality is when you get outside of the specialist, there's still many people who've never heard of Axogen, much less advanced nerve graft. Or some of the options available for nerve care. So to that end, we believe, and it's part of our plan that we're executing on, is that we can build upon all the existing evidence bases. Now there's more than 200 published and peer-reviewed publications on advanced nerve graft, more than 300 in nerve care. But to give you some idea of how this market is just beginning to grow, something like 70% of all the published literature at nerve care has come about in the last 5 years. So it's building on itself. And it's just a natural extension as in healthcare, is that as techniques and capabilities become available, and as an awareness increases, it starts to build one on another when the evidence suggests that there's efficacy associated with it. So that's why I always come back to, this is still very immature in terms of where we are. And our job is to apply the classic market development discipline that's required. And what is that? Well, is one is you need to have competent, trained commercial and clinical organizations to support the teaching that's required in making manifest the value proposition. Number two, you need to work with the physician societies to establish formally where this care and this therapy stands based upon evidence relative to existing standards of care. And then three, you need to develop coverage and payment. The coverage and payment can't be developed unless you have societal awareness and evidence to support it. And then finally, you need to have organizations that specifically work with the payers to make sure that they see the evidence so they can establish coverage expectations. And you need to work all these in tandem. And you don't engage in this kind of work for novelty unless you believe you can run the gauntlet. And one of the reasons why I'm here is I've had the pleasure and privilege of doing this a lot in my career. And advanced nerve graft is something that's truly very special. It makes a difference in life. And it merits running that gauntlet. And so we have very high confidence that we will get there. Even just in the last 12 months, we've added 17 million lives to our commercial coverage payer landscape. And our strategic plan is that we get to 80 by the end of the strategic plan, which is basically 2028. And it comes in bits and parts. You had 17 here, you had 5 here, 3 there. And then pretty soon you obtain full coverage based upon the efficacy that exists.
Perfect.
So most of your revenue is commercial paying, or not?
I'm sorry?
Most of your revenue is commercial paying for insurance?
Yeah, shamefully, I don't remember the exact percentage, but a good majority of it is commercial pay. Yeah, it's a device intensive procedure code, physician code. And so we, based upon the age and presentation disease, the majority of our reimbursement is commercial payer coverage. But we also have a fairly significant Medicare. No, actually, it's quite variable. It varies depending upon geography and procedure. So you can have one state where everything is 100% covered, and you can move to the next state and you have a non-coverage decision. So it's payer and regional located. It's not like a uniform policy. And so part of what we're doing is we're now activating our own organization, updating all the evidence dossiers. In fact, in the fourth quarter, we will basically introduce an updated evidence dossier that takes into account the recent publication of the RECON data, the BLA approval, all the publications. You would think that this is already available. Actually, it's not. And then you literally take this information and you provide it to the third-party evidence providers, the ECRIs and others of that ilk. And you also deal directly with the payers. And you provide this to them so that they can make their determination that a therapy is or is not experimental. And where we have non-coverage, it's usually because they simply look at nerve care in general as a big, huge bucket, not just advanced nerve graft, but the whole area, and they say it's experimental, and they don't cover it. And the way it's overcome in the meantime is you typically have a situation where the hospital will basically make the determination that, no, we're going to provide this therapy because it's the right thing to do, or I don't want to lose this patient to the provider who does provide it. So depending upon the therapy, the situation, and the geography, it's quite variable.
Great. And then, speaking of BLA, which you alluded to in your remarks, mm-hmm. we walk through the history of the process for getting BLA, why that's attractive to the company, and what the next steps are.
Sure. So historically, advanced nerve graft was regulated as a device, which is basically design controls, manufacturing, and risk management. And with regards to a biologic, You're looking at purity, potency, and consistency in the manufacturing process as a determinant of whether or not the device will ultimately be able to provide effectiveness. So these are, you could say these are the same for devices as well, and you could say the same devices for biological, but the intensity of focus and the processes that are measured and evaluated are different. And essentially, the presumption is that Avance, while it's a human allograft, which per se is not novel, is novel because the Avance nerve graft retains laminin, which is a protein, which means that it's still bioactive. It's immunologically passive, so that's why it's safe for implant. But what makes Avance special is that laminin in particular, in addition to the physical construct, which is exactly like the person that you're, because it's basically a human nerve graft, so you have a physically common, familiar scaffold, physical scaffold for the axons to regenerate through, and the laminin acts as an attractant, an encouragement to the axonal regrowth, and that's an oversimplifying the process, but that's essentially what makes Avance nerve graft unique, and why the FDA ultimately just said, you know what, we think you're a biologic. Now, normally a biologic process is monoclonal antibodies, gene therapies, vaccines. So we don't really fit into the scheme in a traditional way, but we're very novel in the sense that the FDA wants to regulate tissues like Avance in the future through this process. So we're both working together to develop the quality systems that, while applicable to an injectable drug, can be adapted to a human tissue construct like ours. And so that's been a long journey because assays needed to be developed, unique processes needed to be developed. And we're now nearing the end of that. We've recently had an amendment because the FDA felt that they need more time to evaluate the processes that we were putting in place as part of the plan. To achieve those aims, we have a plan together to do that. And we now expect that process to conclude December 5th.
Great. And then in terms of your application, is there anything from a clinical data perspective that gives you pause on approval?
Not from our perspective, but honestly, we can't speak to that yet because there's nothing to speak to.
Okay. So. Makes sense. Switching gears maybe to your 2Q results, you guys had a nice strong quarter, I think 18% growth.
That's correct.
And raised guidance as well. You know, looking at the back half of the year, what gave you confidence in raising guide? And I don't know if you want to comment at a high level on 2026, but you know, I would expect this momentum to continue.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we've been executing to our plan. We've been seeing it work, our new focus strategy on our high potential accounts, as well as adding to our commercial organization. We feel it's working. We're exceeding what our internal plan was for our extremities. We're seeing double-digit growth across all of our application markets. And we felt that it was appropriate to raise our guidance to at least 17% for the year, which would bring us to $219 million.
Great. And then I guess looking to next year, you guys continue to expand outside of trauma, devoting more resources. You know, what's the latest update on the breast recon side of the business? How's surgeon training going? And any feedback there?
Sure. One thing, just to be very clear, we're investing in all parts of the business now. So that includes trauma. So we're expanding that organization. The keys to growth is, and part of this is just going to be basic math, but I think it's important to spell out, is all these markets are underpenetrated. And one of the questions is if you want to invest into it, what am I investing? What is the business model? Well, if I input X, what's the output Y? We now have more than a year under our belt evaluating the business models that are prosecuting the strategies we thought would be most effective. And we can now look back and make that judgment. And we now believe within each area that we have a pretty good a sense for what XN is and what Y out will be. And so with that, the positive news is that all the opportunities are performing well or a little bit better than our expectations. And so we're now investing in that. So the drivers of future growth are just the productivity gains you presently see with the customers that we have. Secondly, adding new customers, and thirdly, expanding that commercial footprint to allow you to add and facilitate those. Now, that may sound very obvious, but it's important context. Historically, Axygen had not expanded its sales organization in more than 4 years. And objectively, it actually decreased over a period of time. So, and despite that, you know, on a year-to-year basis, the company continued to grow. So the appetite is there, the need is there, but now we have a physical construct to apply to create and keep customers in each area. And so we'll be doing that and expanding that in incremental fashion, consistent with our ability to generate cash. That's really the key thing, is that we're going to expand within our ability to the cash that we can generate. And so looking to the future, we think that the progress we're seeing in all the franchises this year will continue to be the same that we see next year. Longer term, further out towards the end of the strategic planning period, we think prostate will become a significant driver as well.
Great. Yeah, maybe touching on prostate, how many pilot sites are up and running now, and what are the next steps to commercialization there?
Sure. Well, right now we have 6 sites that we recruited as the pilots, and we want to recruit 10, and we want to complete 100 cases by the end of the year. We have about 10 cases done so far officially as part of the pilot. There's more than that that people have done on their own accord. That's going extremely well in terms of interest level. Virtually every participant and leader in the space of prostate that we have approached acknowledges and agrees that there's a massive unmet need, and that in principle the approach that we're discussing with them has a high opportunity for success. And so what we're working together on is to complete the training protocols so that we prosecute the pilot in a disciplined way so that we can make good judgments from the conclusion of it. But the need is manifest and universal in terms of agreement. And so we believe that based upon the thesis that a nerve is a nerve is a nerve. In other words, if you can anastomose and correctly implant a nerve to the portions that have been affected, that more often than not, that nerve will regenerate. And with that, you can mitigate a significant detractor to quality of life in prostate cancer. So just like the other areas where we have changed the course of health, we believe prostate is another place that we can bring great good.
Right. And then outside of BLA, and not to diminish the BLA approval, but mm-hmm. You know, what are the key milestones next year? What are you looking most forward to?
Key milestones will be a continued expansion of the sales force in a quarter to quarter basis. So we want to do it like incrementally for each franchise to be adding to this. So we're increasing the capacity in a controlled fashion. So monitoring and measuring that, I think, would be important. Monitoring and measuring the productivity of these efforts to make sure that the business model's elasticity continues as we believe it should. So those are the basics. In 2026, we should also be in a position to start reporting on some of our internal R&D. So that R&D is underway today across 3 areas, and for certain of those areas, we expect to have news to share. And just as a reminder, that's protection. In other words, so when you do a nerve repair, these are typically very inflamed areas as a result of the disease, the procedure, or the trauma, depending upon why the patient's there in the first place. And you need to create an environment that allows that nerve to heal and regenerate so that you don't have scar tissues or pressures that can impede that. And so protection is a good part of, an important part of nerve repair, and we produce products for that purpose. The second area is a connection. So these procedures are not easy to do. There's a lot going on. They have very small sutures. And so if you can make these procedures easier to do, you basically facilitate more therapy. So it's a second area. And then the third area is more strategic, and that is advanced nerve graft is unique because it provides the opportunity for regeneration. But no product is perfect. And so how can you make it more perfect? And so there's based upon our basic research, and other work that's been done, is we believe that through various form factors, we can further enhance regenerative potential. And so we're working on that as well. So those are the three areas internally, organically driven, that we have a lot of activity going on. So you'll hear about that. Also, by the end of the year, you probably should, next year, we should probably have some more substantial news to talk about on prostate as a driver. But otherwise, just watching the growth by clinical application area.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks.